Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Coming up in a bit, Rob and I are having a Philadelphia debate. We'll bring it to you here coming up in just a bit. So I was thinking about the Super Bowl, and I'm pretty sure that Patrick Mahomes is going to the Hall of Fame. Travis Kelce, pretty sure about it. Andy Reid going to the Hall of Fame. Like, there's some guys that we don't really need to spend any time debating on whether or not they've done enough to go to the Hall of Fame. But who else from this team could potentially find themselves in Canton? I think the player who could benefit most by the Chiefs winning another ring would be Chris Jones, especially with him being the best defensive player on a championship team. So we looked this up. Yesterday we had the stat that there have been 10 teams in NFL history who have been to 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. There's only been one other franchise to do it post-salary cap, post-free agency. That's the New England Patriots. They've done it twice. Of all of those groups, only one of them has yet to have a defensive Hall of Famer, and that's the 14-17 New England Patriots, because none of them can be Hall of Famers. So every other group that has had 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, they've had at least one defensive player go to the Hall of Fame. History says that one defensive player who has played on the Chiefs over this run will find themselves in Canton. I think there's two people that have an argument for it. It's Chris Jones and it's Tyrann Mathieu. Those are the two players that have a chance to end up in Canton. I think that Tyrann has probably had the better career out of the two. If you look at like individual accolades and things that get you into the Hall of Fame, he's on the All-Decade team. He's been first-team All-Pro more times than Chris Jones. But Chris Jones could also be a part of 2 championship teams, and some would argue that he was the best defensive player on 2 championship defenses. That guy ends up making the Hall of Fame. I don't think that player ends up being a first ballot Hall of Famer by any means, but that guy eventually gets into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's why when you and I were having the conversation yesterday about Chris Jones and his future and what he values, I think there's a realistic shot for Chris Jones to make it to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And I think you got to see that you got a chance to be in a very, very special group and put that yellow jacket on. You got a chance to get another ring. You got a chance to go to another Super Bowl, which I think would then 100% put you in the Hall of Fame. I think that comes at a price. I think that means something to you if you're a player. I think that's something that you want to stick around for. But this was interesting. So there have been 10 teams to do it. Let's remove the New England Patriots, 14-17, that did this. There just hasn't been enough time for them to put somebody into the Hall of Fame. The other 9 teams in league history that have gone to 3 Super Bowls in 4 years, they have had at least one defensive player go into the Hall of Fame. I don't think the Chiefs' defense is getting completely shut out. We know who from the offense is getting in, but if you get to 2 or 3 championships, you're not just getting 2 or 3 guys in the Hall of Fame. You're getting 4 or 5 guys into the Hall of Fame. I think Chris Jones has a pretty realistic shot to find himself in Canton.
And, like, that's the stat. And as I delve into it, I didn't have time to name every Hall of Famer on every team, but more teams than not ended up with multiple Hall of Famers. I mean, look at those 90-93 Cowboys. They had Deion Sanders, Charles Haley. I mean, these all had dudes. The Bills had Bruce Smith. There were tons and tons of dudes. So I don't think it's just the one will get in. But to our conversation from yesterday, I think Chris Jones with a Super Bowl and another 10-plus sack season might end up in Canton regardless of where he's playing. I think the conversation around his contract will be fascinating all offseason, but I think if his career ended a week from Sunday and the Chiefs had hoisted a second Lombardi trophy, the way voters look at the modern NFL with the short burst of greatness that in, with his All-Pros, with his Super Bowls, with his Pro Bowls, with his multiple sack seasons of 15-plus, I think he might be a Hall of Famer. He might be a Super Bowl away from one, and he just a matter of adding to the legacy because the Luke Kuechlys of the world have changed how the Hall of Fame voting works. I'm not certain that he's not already a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I'm not at that point. I think when you start talking about the guys like Luke Kuechly, like Luke Kuechly was just a better player and just has far more accolades than Chris Jones. I think the thing that can maybe keep Chris Jones out is his resume just isn't super long. Like a lot of these guys we talk about, and maybe it's just me, like I really value individual accomplishments and things that you did. Chris Jones only has one first-team All-Pro. That was this year. And has three second-team All-Pro. So he's putting together a really, really impressive. Luke Kuechly won Defensive Player of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year, five-time first-team All-Pro, two-time second-team All-Pro, made the Pro Bowl for seven consecutive years, his only All-Decade team. Like, Luke Kuechly maybe didn't play the 13, 14 years, but he did a lot in a really short amount of time. He just didn't happen to be on a team that had that level of success. So Luke Kuechly's resume is far more impressive than Chris Jones, but Chris Jones will also have potential two-time Super Bowl champion alongside of it, and we know the kind of weight that that carries once you get into that room. What were you a part of? Were you a part of something special? And Chris Jones, the way he played in the AFC Championship game, if he puts together another really big effort, and then you think about him playing maybe his three best games, the AFC Championship game against Cincinnati, the Super Bowl against San Francisco, and I thought he was absolutely incredible in that game, and who knows what he does next Sunday against Philadelphia, he will have a case for it. I don't think you can put him in the lock conversation, but he certainly has an argument to be included.
I think, now having heard his resume, I thought he had another first-team All-Pro. I thought he was first-team All-Pro that other year he had the 15 sacks. I did not know that off the top of my head. But I mean, and I know Luke Kuechly is better. I'm just saying those guys who have short but long resumes, if that makes sense, short duration but a lot of things on there, Chris have changed the calculus for NFL voting. I think maybe Chris Jones, as you've talked to me, is not as certain into Canton as I believe, but I think he's definitely closer than we would have thought 10, 15 years ago because the duration argument, the Frank Gore argument has kind of gone out the window. Be great for every amount of time you're in the league and we'll have the conversation. He's starting to put things on his resume. And as much as me and you and listeners don't value Pro Bowls, Pro Bowls are going to be one of those things because for whatever reason, the writers and the Hall of Fame committee always mention Pro Bowls, which is why it's fascinating for Matt Stafford. That's a different conversation. But his Pro Bowls do exist, which also helps his resume.
Someone on the text line asked, hey, CDOT, I think that Chris Jones just happened to play at the same time as Aaron Donald, so it would have been hard to be that first-team All-Pro guy. I mean, two interior defensive linemen make it every year. So you're right, one of those spots is taken. Like, no denying that. Aaron Donald has had that first-team All-Pro defensive tackle, one of those locked up. Chris Jones has only made it one other time, though. So it's not like Chris Jones has four of these, and it is undeniable that he's been the second-best defensive lineman or defensive tackle during this era. He's been in a conversation with a lot of other guys that have been there. So to me, I think Chris Jones is still lacking a little bit when it comes to some of the accolades. But I do think he's going to have an argument by the time that he's done that he should be included in Canton, Ohio. So Rob and I have been having this debate, and I want to get you guys' thoughts on this, 913-586-7610. If you've been listening to this show, you know that I love the Rocky franchise, and you know what? Them playing the Philadelphia Eagles gives us an excuse for the next 2 weeks to talk about the Rocky movie franchise. Which song more defines Rocky? Because Rob and I are on two completely different sides. Is it this song? We'll be right back. which is a strong suggestion, or is it the far more obvious?
You set that up to just play your hand or the far more obvious answer. Come on now.
Because the answer is Eye of the Tiger.
No, it's
Eye of the Tiger. It's gonna fly now. It's the definitive Rocky song. It's the definitive Rocky song.
Gonna Fly Now is when people hear that, people don't even know the name of it. They just Google Rocky theme and dun 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 plays. No one thinks Eye of the Tiger for Rocky. Gonna Fly Now is the answer. And if you had set it up properly and unbiased, the text line would be like, oh, good point, Rob. But no, you had to set it up your way. Eye of the Tiger is on the list, and I'm happy it's on the list.
The text
line, it's not one.
The text line has a mind of its own. 913-586-7610. What's the more Rocky song? Is it, what's the name of the song? Nobody even knows the name of the song. It's just
it's the Rocky song. It's the Rocky song.
Everybody
that's how
knows
people
Eye
know
of the
it.
Tiger. You remember Apollo Creed telling him that he needed the Eye of the Tiger, and he used that to overcome maybe his greatest challenger. He overcome his greatest challenge in the Rocky series because he had the Eye of the Tiger. That's why. That's the definitive Rocky song. I mean, your song's fine. It's okay. It's all right. I mean, it's a cute little song. It ain't this, though. You can just see yourself doing layups right now to this song. You're getting ready for the football game, and they're playing this in the back. It's the definitive Rocky song.
It's the definitive one of the Rocky movie song. When you think of the Rocky franchise, which is now six movies long, if we don't include the Creed series, which kind of sort of ties in, Gonna Fly Now is synonymous with the Rocky movies. It's in one, it's in five, it's in three, it's in two, it's in four, it's in all of them. Eye of the Tiger is synonymous with a singular movie. I am synonymous with the entire franchise.
So let us know on the text line, 913-586-7610, what song is more the Rocky song? Is it Eye of the Tiger or that other song that Rob suggested? Coming up, the most college football thing ever is happening in the Super Bowl. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by the De Pasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this on your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs and the home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Kansas City, it's George Karlaftis, and you're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Earlier today, during his media availability, Patrick Mahomes talked about Big 12 quarterbacks, and we got two of them in the Super Bowl with him and Jalen Hurts.
The SEC's going to be mad because Alabama tries to claim Jalen as well. So they'll be a little angry about you calling him a Big 12 quarterback. But it's cool, man. I think you saw that three of the quarterbacks in the Final Four were Big 12 quarterbacks. And I think you just get past that stigma of your air raid quarterback. You don't know how to handle NFL offense. And to see that guys can come from anywhere, man. I think you see that in all of football's history is players can come from big colleges. They can come from small colleges. Whatever conference that is, and they can have success, is you just got to be willing to work and willing to learn. And that's something that I think you see between me and Jalen is you have guys that want to get better and want to do whatever they can to win football games.
Rob, can you tell me anything that is more college football than what we're seeing in the Super Bowl? Two quarterbacks from the heart of Texas, neither one of them went to Texas University. You're telling me that Patrick Mahomes at 15 years old wouldn't have went to Texas if they hadn't really recruited him? You're telling me that Jalen Hurts wouldn't have went to Texas if they hadn't made him a priority? Rob, there were six starting quarterbacks this year from the state of Texas. None of them went to the University of Texas. Kyler Murray, who is widely regarded as maybe the best high school football player that they've ever produced, he didn't go to Texas. Ryan Tannehill, Jalen Hurts, Matthew Stafford, Baker Mayfield, and Patrick Mahomes. Six starting quarterbacks this year in the National Football League. None of them went to the University of Texas. If you want to find out why Texas has been exactly who they've been for the last 15 years or so, it's this year's Super Bowl. How do you let Patrick Mahomes go to Texas Tech? He turned out to be a top 10 pick. He's a future NFL Hall of Famer. You chose Sam Ellinger over him? Jalen Hurts has his team in the Super Bowl. He helped guide his team to a national championship in college. You guys didn't get Jalen Hurts either? I don't know if there's anything more college football than Texas having two quarterbacks in the Super Bowl, yet neither one of them went to Texas.
First off, Sam Ellinger, the only Texas Longhorn, I believe, to start a game at quarterback in the NFL this year. So put a little respect on his name. Now, he only started because Jeff Saturday is an idiot, but that's neither here nor there. And I feel like maybe it's because we were in Big 12 country when Missouri was in the Big 12, and now it's, you know, SEC country because Texas is going over there. But I feel like we've heard the story since like 03 about insert player X is a great college player or pro player, and guess where he didn't go to school? Texas. How many times have we heard this story? Chase Daniel. Robert Griffin III. It goes on and on and on.
Because it just doesn't make any sense, though. Like, it's not like they miss.
They miss more often than they hit, though. At this point, it's not bucking the trend. It's the trend.
Have they hit since Colt McCoy? Honestly.
No.
Has Texas hit a quarterback since Colt McCoy? I mean,
Manning?
I mean, Andrew Luck didn't go there. Drew Brees didn't. Like, we can find a lot of quarterbacks who went and played high school football in the state of Texas and didn't go to the University of Texas. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, we'll see if this Arch Manning kid's really good. That's a big plus for them, the fact that Arch Manning is going there. It's the first big quarterback win that they've had in a long time, though. It's the first one they've had in a while.
And he didn't go to – he's not from Texas, right? He's from Tennessee. Isn't that correct? He doesn't – so – while he appears to be the first win they've had in a super long time.
He ain't from Texas.
It ain't like they recruited their state to get him. Everyone in their state goes elsewhere. Yeah. Everyone.
It just might be the most college football thing ever. And it's like, you don't get much more Texas than Patrick Mahomes. The fact that he didn't go to Texas is just, it's just mind-blowing to me. They're like the University of Missouri when it comes to basketball. They've had so many guys from St. Louis over the last 20 years or so. None of them went to Missouri.
It's way worse for Texas, though. No offense to Missouri. I'd love to get my jokes off. You know, I'd love to get my jokes off. It's worse for Texas because what's the one thing Texas is known for? It's football program.
Yeah,
I mean, can't get any of them.
No one ever grows up. Like, very few kids grow up wanting to play basketball at Missouri. Kids grow up wanting to play basketball at Kansas. Like, when you're practicing your game, you're Christian Brown. You grow up thinking, I can go to the University of Kansas. You don't know what every high school football player grows up thinking in Texas? I can play for the Longhorns one day. How they're just not the best program in college football just makes absolutely no sense. Coming up in a little bit, you guys will be very surprised to know that Orlando Brown is still very much coveted in a free agent sense. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. So earlier today, Andy Reid met with the media, and he said this regarding their injury updates for the upcoming Super Bowl.
Juju had has some knee swelling. He won't practice. Legarius Sneed's in the concussion protocol. He won't practice. And then Kadarius Toney, he won't practice with the ankle sprain, but he's close and doing well. Actually did the walkthrough today. So
that was Andy Reid with the injury update. Here's also Andy Reid on Mecole Hardman. He doesn't think that he's going to be able to go in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so I think it'll be tough for him. I mean, I doubt that he'll make the Super Bowl. But listen, he was not going to be denied the other day, and it's a tribute to the kid. He pushed himself like no other, and he's a tough nut now, man. He's all smiles with you, but he when it comes down to playing, he is a tough kid, you know.
So let me ask you this. Let's say that at the end of the season, Mecole Hardman has his exit interview. You know the way that they always have, right? Let's say that they have that. And Mecole says, you know what, man? I got a lot of unfinished business here with the Chiefs. I love living in Kansas City. I know he has a kid on the way. I want to raise my kid in Kansas City. I really have found a home here. I love to come back next season. Can the Chiefs bring back all three? Can the Chiefs next season have Mecole Hardman, Kadarius Toney, and Sky Moore on the team? Because you know me, I'm big look at the snap counts. The snap counts really matter. I don't know if you can afford to block Sky Moore again next year the way that you did this season. Like, if your belief is that Andy's system takes you a year, and now heading into year two, you know the system, and you're ready to go, I don't know if you can have his time blocked by Mecole Hardman. Like, if Mecole Hardman is on the team next year, I think they are telling us how they feel about Sky Moore and how his development is going. Because I think we all know why you drafted Sky Moore. You drafted Sky Moore because we knew this was a contract year for Mecole Hardman. Mecole Hardman was going to have the season he was going to have, and then he was going to move on, and now you would elevate Sky Moore to that role. I don't know if you can deviate from that plan. I think it's a really good plan. I don't know how much Mecole Hardman's going to make next year. I assure you he will make at least twice as much as what Sky Moore is going to make next year just by being a veteran player. He ain't signing a one-year, $1 million deal. He's going to get a little bit of money next year. Now, I don't think he's going to break the bank by any means, but he certainly is going to get paid. I don't think you can really afford to have all three of these guys on the team next year between Mecole Hardman, Kadarius Toney, and Sky Moore. I think that job is filled, and I appreciate what Mecole Hardman did, and I think for the most part it has been a good rookie contract, and you and I always go back and forth. I don't think the goal of every draft pick is to have them play long term. Sometimes the best value you have is on your rookie deal. You've gotten the most out of that rookie contract by Mecole Hardman. Now it's time to get the most out of the rookie deal with Sky Moore, and I'm just not sure if he can do that next season if Mecole Hardman's still on the roster.
First off, we kind of agree. We kind of disagree on that. I think first, second, and third round picks should be guys you get multiple contracts out of. If you get a great rookie 4 years out of a fifth round draft pick, party on, Wayne. But I digress, because Mecole Hardman was an early round pick. I think the writing was on the wall for Mecole the minute they traded for Kadarius Toney. The minute that happened, I think any conversation of what does a return contract to Kansas City look like for Mecole Hardman ended. And we'll have time to talk about McColl's legacy in Kansas City, and we'll talk a lot about it today and down the road and the whole deal. But the minute they trade a draft pick for Mecole Hardman is the minute they inside that building had decided we are not keeping him long term. I think at the draft they had made that decision, but Sky Moore was behind the curve enough where they felt like, you know, maybe we give Mecole a 1 or 2 year deal, or it's a 1 year with the option and you funny money it up and that kind of deal. But the minute they brought Kadarius Toney in, they had solved the problem. They had a redundancy for Mecole, and it was the end of McColl's tenure. And I feel bad for Mecole because he never lived up to what a lot of Chiefs fans wanted him to be, but he was still a really productive player for this team. But that productivity is no longer required because you assume Sky Moore takes the next step, and people talk about Kadarius Toney like he's a wide receiver one day. Mecole Hardman's tenure in KC ended with that trade.
And just, I'm just looking at the way you build roster. You're big on, you don't want to pay for anything but quarterbacks. You would just have Patrick Mahomes and all rookies and draft picks on your team.
I would pay edge rusher. Hold on, don't put me into that corner. Just not Frank Clark.
Next year, Sky Moore is making $1.4 million. Next year, Kadarius Toney is making $1.9 million. I mean, that's two wide receivers right there that you're paying a little over $3 million to. There's no chance that you're getting Mecole Hardman on a one-year, $3 million deal. Like, just from a sheer number standpoint, let's disregard the number, let's disregard snap count, let's disregard all of that. Do you want to pay Mecole Hardman maybe twice as much as you're going to pay Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney combined for next season? Because let's say that he signs DJ Chark's deal. I know that was a one-year deal that you really liked last year. You really liked DJ Chark's contract. He signed a one-year, $10 million deal last season. I think some team will give that to Mecole Hardman. Certainly a one-year seven, a one-year $8 million deal. I don't think you can justify paying Mecole Hardman twice as much as you're paying Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney next year to essentially do the same role. You don't need jet sweep guy anymore. You've got that before. You've got that. You don't need jet sweep guy for next year. And he's never really developed into a wide receiver that you really trust with his route running ability. I just don't know how Mecole can be on the team next year. Maybe the Chiefs would want him at the number. Maybe the number isn't going to be as big as they want, but I agree with you. The moment they traded for Kadarius Toney, at that point, they made their decision about what the long-term future is. We're going to go with the rookie contracts of Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney, and at the end of the year, we're going to appreciate everything that Mecole Hardman did for us, but we're going to move in a different direction at the end of the season.
You're 100% correct on payment. You have Sky Moore on a second-year rookie deal, which is nothing money. You have Kadarius Toney on a first-round pick rookie deal, which is nothing money. Paying for the same player a third time and now being expensive is nonsense. It makes no sense at all financially. I think Brett Veach did that, understanding that we're not paying Mecole Hardman. Mecole Hardman will probably get the DJ Chark deal in free agency. He'll have a chance to prove himself and then get super paid on the back end of that, similar to how DJ Chark did, or Marvin Jones, whatever player you want to plug in here. But Kadarius Toney is the end of Mecole Hardman, because you're right, they do the exact same things, and they speak higher about Toney than they ever spoke about Mecole Hardman.
Someone said, I think you have to keep him because Toney won't be healthy. I think that's what Sky Moore is for. I really think that's what Sky Moore is for. I mean, this year, Sky Moore played in 27% of the offensive snaps for the Chiefs. 27. He only played in 10 more snaps this year than Mecole Hardman, and Mecole Hardman basically missed the entire second half of the season. So it's not like Sky Moore was really on the field a whole lot this past season. He wasn't on the field. I think the hope is that next year Sky Moore is on the field for 55, 60% of their snaps. I mean, Juju this year was on the field for 67%. MVS was on the field for 68% of the snaps. I just expect the usage to go up. Justin Watson was on the field for 43% of their offensive plays this year. I think the expectation's got to be that your second-round pick is just going to be used a lot more next season, and that you want to see Sky Moore kind of get to where Justin Watson was and assume that wide receiver three role, and also Kadarius Toney. He only played 10% of the snaps. I know he has his injury problems. I think he'll play more than that next season. I just don't think there's room for Mecole Hardman anymore. I think they've filled his role. Coming up on the other side, speaking of Mecole, let's talk a little bit about free agents, because I think you guys will be surprised how high NFL people still feel about Orlando Brown Jr. and what he could command this offseason. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this. If you missed any of the show, catch up on the Odyssey app or at 610sports.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Your home for Chiefs football in Kansas City is 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Let's finish this conversation about Mecole Hardman here really quickly. If you missed it, Andy Reid said that he doesn't think McColl's going to play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so I think it'll be tough for him. I mean, I doubt that he'll make the Super Bowl. But listen, he was not going to be denied the other day, and it's a tribute to the kid. He pushed himself like no other, and. He's a tough nut now, man. He's all smiles with you, but when it comes down to playing, he is a tough, tough kid. You know.
Maybe I'm reading too much into just a handful of text messages. So if I am, you can certainly correct me. 913-586-7610. Hey, C-Dot, I don't think there's any way that you can expect Tony to play at least 17 games next year, so bringing McColl back would be really good insurance. Someone else says, I think you have to keep him because Tony won't be healthy. One more text says, I think you have to bring McColl back on a cheap prove-it deal for Tony. Insurance and save wear and tear on Tony. Isn't that why they got Sky Moore? I just feel like now we're not incorporating Sky Moore into any of their future plans. I'm trying to free up snaps and targets for him next year. I mean, this year, Sky Moore only got 33 targets this year. Imagine what he looks like with now a second year in the Chiefs offense and just more opportunities for next season. So Justin Watson played, I think, a lot more than any of us had anticipated this year. And if you don't bring back Mecole Hardman next year and you throw the ball to Sky Moore 55 times next year, I think you get something here. Am I reading into this a little bit wrong? Because I keep hearing insurance for Tony, insurance for Tony. Isn't that what Sky Moore is for next year? Isn't Sky Moore insurance for Kadarius Toney next year, where if an injury happens with him, I mean, in the couple of times that this offense has asked Sky Moore to step up, I think he's shown that he's a pretty productive player. Now, I don't think that Sky Moore is going to be some guy who has 1,100 yards receiving next year, but could Sky Moore next year have 600 yards receiving for this team? Absolutely, I think he could do that. Isn't that basically what you were getting from Mecole Hardman? Wouldn't you be getting it at a cheaper price? So I don't think they need to keep McColl around because he's insurance for Kadarius Toney. I think they've already drafted Kadarius Toney insurance and Sky Moore, and I expect his role to only grow next year.
Plus, the Chiefs are going to add another Justin Watson type. They basically always do. I mean, no offense to Byron Pringle, but he was Justin Watson before Justin Watson. It was a guy they find on the practice squad or on a practice squad or another team, and they bring in, they see if he works out. It just... The NFL is chocked full of guys like Justin Watson. The Chiefs aren't going to stop adding that type of player. So when you have Watson, whatever version of new Watson they bring in, because you know they're bringing a guy, and maybe it's Cornell Powell, doesn't matter, plus Kadarius Toney, plus we both think MVS is coming back, maybe Juju comes back. There's not enough room for a Mecole Hardman. There's not enough space. They've kind of pushed him out. So I understand the thought of insurance for Kadarius Toney, but Sky Moore, Justin Watson, whatever small one-year deal signing you make, that's the insurance for Kadarius Toney. The insurance is not a one-year $2.5 or $3 million deal for Mecole Hardman, which is what he's going to get on the open market.
Because I'm just looking at targets for next season. You know, targets matter. You know, you can't really catch the ball to make plays if they don't throw the ball your way. Kelsey led the team in targets, as he should. Juju Smith-Schuster was second. He had 101 targets this year. MVS had 81 targets. Jerick McKinnon ended the season with 71 targets. Like, he was a focal point of their offense in the second half of the season. And then after that, it's just a lot of guys who were kind of all bunched together. McColl had 34. Noah Gray had 34. Justin Watson had 34. Sky Moore had 33. It's guys kind of in that vein. I'd love to give Sky Moore 10 of the targets that McColl was supposed to get from, or 10 this year, and give him 10 from Justin Watson and give him 55, 60 targets next year. I think he can be a really, really productive player if that's the case. That's basically what you were getting for Byron Pringle when he was here. That's almost exactly what Byron Pringle was there at the end. I mean, Byron Pringle, his last year in Kansas City, Byron Pringle got thrown the ball 60 times. He got thrown the ball 60 times and got you 568 yards and five touchdowns. I bet if I ask everybody right now, hey, I can lock you in right now for next season, that Sky Moore is going to have almost 600 yards receiving and five touchdowns as their third or fourth option. I think everybody takes it. Well, he can't do that if Mecole Hardman is on the team next year. Like, there just isn't enough usage rate I think you can potentially get if he's there. I think next season is about figuring out exactly what you have with Sky Moore. I would just be surprised if McColl comes back, because I think it blocks one of your draft picks that you got expectations for.
And why would you draft Sky Moore in the second round to have him sit out two of his 4 years of club control? I know club control in base is a baseball term, but you understand when you're on a second round pick contract, you are as cheap and valuable as you will ever be in the NFL. The Chiefs are going to just punt on 2 years of that because, hey, we have to bring back these other players that are more expensive and potentially more valuable. You'll never know what you have. It's not the exact same, but the Packers are in no man's land with Jordan Love. They don't really know what they have. They haven't even seen him in live action. If you bring back Mecole Hardman, you'll be going into year three being like, we don't know what we have in Sky Moore, and that's a bad place to be.
So let's talk about some free agency stuff here for a little bit, and we'll get back to the Super Bowl here and talk more about the present-day Chiefs here in a little bit. But so I was on ESPN Plus earlier today, and they were talking about off-season free agency list, right? Like, a lot of that stuff, you know, not every team is getting ready for the Super Bowl. You know, some teams are getting ready for the combine. Some teams are getting ready for free agency. And there was a very interesting list regarding free agents and where they were. So it was the top 10 players who deserve to get paid this upcoming season. You want to know where Orlando Brown was on the list? He was ninth on this list. Ninth. And I started looking at the non-quarterbacks that were ahead of him, because most of the guys that were ahead of him were quarterbacks. You know, Herbert's contract is coming up at the end of the year, so he's ahead of him. Burrow's contract is ahead of him. Lamar Jackson, you know, guys that are really going to dominate the headlines. The non-quarterbacks who were ahead of him in free agency: Justin Jefferson, Nick Bosa, Brian Burns, Jeffrey Simmons, who was a very talented defensive lineman. Orlando Brown was on this list. Orlando Brown was on this list. Orlando Brown is going to make a lot of money whenever he signs a long-term extension. The question is just going to be, is what team does he sign that long-term extension with? What team does he sign the long-term extension with? But next year, I mean, there's really two options. He signs the franchise tag with the Chiefs, and he's going to make 120% more, which I would say that's probably the most likely scenario. Or the Chiefs are going to trade him to a team that makes him the second highest paid offensive lineman in the National Football League. I know that Kansas City doesn't view him as an elite level offensive lineman, but it is a supply and demand business, and he is a capable left tackle at a sport that requires you to have a good one. So somebody is going to overpay. The same way we see teams overpay for pass rush, because you desperately need pass rush, so you'll give Von Miller 6 years, $120 million, and you'll figure it out. Or you'll give Chandler Jones that big contract and a lot of the money that got thrown around last season at that position, the exact same thing is going to happen to Orlando Brown. I know that Kansas City has turned a little bit jaded on Orlando Brown, but I'm telling you, he is still in line to get a whole bunch of money, and the Chiefs still have a whole lot of leverage over him when this game is over, whether to keep him on the franchise tag for next year and just run it back for one more year. But I do think they're going to want that cap flexibility. I don't think you want to franchise tag him. Not again. It just doesn't give you the flexibility that you need to do some of the other things that you would like to with the roster and keep certain talent and bring other guys in. Or you just dangle him out there for a trade, and maybe you don't get a first-round pick, but you get a high second-round pick, and then you get the flexibility to go spend money elsewhere. I don't know if the Orlando Brown conversation is over yet and what the Chiefs could potentially do with him this offseason.
I, for one, am not stunned that he's one of the top five quarterbacks, non-quarterbacks, on that list. He's probably the best left tackle on the market if he does not get tagged, and he plays one of the four premium positions in the NFL. And you called him solid. I think he's above solid. I think he's probably a top 12 left tackle in the NFL. Who's looking for top four money? But that's just how free agency works. Me and you know this. We talk about it all the time. You overpay in free agency. That's the name of the game. That's what happens. So it is not stunning to me Orlando Brown's name is so high on that list because he plays such a premium position. As far as the leverage, I know the Chiefs still have leverage over him and the fact that they have the second tag that can hit on him. But I think the leverage is a lot less this offseason than was last offseason. Last offseason, they had all the leverage. Come figure it out, Orlando. We're going to tag you. This year, it's the same game, but now it's we're going to tag you, and then we're going to walk on you, and we're kind of screwed. I think the Chiefs still have the leverage, but it's 60-40 now, not 80-20. I think it's much closer to they have to both get a deal done than you think.
I mean, there was another story that I read that, in terms of free agent, Orlando Brown was second on the list. And the only player that was ahead of him on the list was Lamar Jackson. This was a list done by Matt Bowen, who played in the league, agent, knows what he's talking about. Now, there's obviously some quarterback contracts that'll be there, so let's disregard that. But Orlando Brown is still very much a well-sought player. We're talking about a guy who is consistently healthy, and that matters. Maybe his play is in top 10, top 15, but a guy who has shown you the ability to play every single week and play the position at a moderately high level. That guy just gets a lot of money if he hits the open market. Teams are willing to pay that individual. So I know this year that he took the gamble on himself, and I don't think he's ever going to get the contract that he desires. But I don't think that should be confused with the fact that now there's a chance that you get him on that super team-friendly deal. He's still commanding $95 to $110 million, regardless of what team signs him this offseason, if he signs a long-term extension.
He's 26-year-old now. He is 26 years old. That's another thing to keep in mind. A lot of guys at his position do not hit free agency at 26, 27. That is in the prime of your NFL career. There is still room for ascension in your NFL career at that age. Trent Williams, when he was the hottest name in the history of left tackle and free agency, was what, 35, 36? Trent Williams is ageless, but he's old. Orlando Brown Jr. is going to be entering his prime or just started his prime when he hits NFL free agency, which is also a huge deal because those guys tend to be first-round picks, which means they tend to be 28, 29 when they finally hit free agency. That is not the case for Orlando Brown Jr. He's young, he's capable, and plays a premium position. Someone, and I think it's probably going to be Kansas City, someone is going to give him $100 million. It's going to happen for Brown Jr.
Do you think the Chiefs want to upgrade both tackles this offseason? Because I think that factors into it. I think most people would agree that they need probably an upgrade at the right tackle position. They probably need to go into next year with a new right tackle. Do they want to go into next season with newness on both the left and the right side of their offensive line? I don't know if they want to. I think this is the last offseason that we have this conversation. You are not franchise tagging Orlando Brown for a third year. And if you're at that point, you've made a decision that you don't think he's worth paying long term, and you're willing to live with the consequences of not having him on the roster. This is the last offseason of the conversation when it comes to Orlando Brown and what his future is long term and if you want to keep him. This is the last year that it even makes some financial sense that you want to keep him on the team or not. I would just argue that if you're willing to guarantee year one and you feel comfortable enough to be able to guarantee year two in some capacity, at that point, you've made in an NFL sense a long-term commitment, and it's probably in your best interest from a salary cap position to just agree to an extension with the player.
I think the Chiefs don't believe they need an upgrade at left tackle. I think the way the fans view Orlando Brown versus the way the team views Orlando Brown are night and day. So to answer your question, I think the team is going to say, hey, we don't need to upgrade either tackle. We still have Lucas Niang on the roster. He still exists. He's still a body that at one point they believed highly in. And if we get Orlando Brown to an extension that we feel is amicable for both sides, we're in a good spot. I think the way the fan base and the text line feel about Orlando Brown and the way Brett Veach feels about Orlando Brown are not the same. Because remember, Nate Taylor was on this show around this time last year, and he said that the Chiefs picked Orlando Brown over Tyrann Mathieu because they knew they were only going to be able to pay one. If you make that decision for a 25-year-old, your plan is not two tags and walk. You don't trade a second-round pick to two tag and walk. I think the Chiefs are going to extend him long-term. So to answer your question, I don't think they view themselves as needing to upgrade both positions. I think they feel they're fine at both positions.
Did you have a lot of foreign exchange students when you were at KU, Rob?
Yeah.
Were there a lot of them?
Decent amount, yeah.
So the school I went to, Missouri Southern, they have like an international mission. So every semester there would be a different country, and, you know, like having foreign exchange students was kind of part of the curriculum, was kind of the fabric of the school. How would you explain what Groundhog's Day is to somebody not from America? Because it might be the dumbest thing that we have in our culture.
Now on this February 2nd, Punxsutawney Phil, the seer of seers, was awakened from his wintry nap at dawn on Gobbler's Knob. Phil looked to the skies and then, speaking in groundhoggese, directed this President Dunkel to the proper scroll, which reads, "I see a shadow on my stage. And so, no matter how you measure, it's six more weeks of winter weather."
How would you explain what Groundhog's Day is to somebody not from America?
The stupidest thing we do?
It's really bad.
I can't put into words how dumb it is.
Is it even still a thing? I kind of feel like Groundhog's Day is only really a thing when we wake up. It's like, oh, yeah, today's Groundhog's Day. And then they do it in the morning. I can't imagine dressing up the way that they dress up to hold that creature to then give us an inaccurate weather report. I just can't imagine it.
And the way he spoke, on this day, Punxsutawney Phil. The guy was wearing a tux.
Like, he was dressed like Abraham Lincoln.
It's 8 in the morning in a random Pennsylvania town. Get a life.
What's the difference between a groundhog and a gopher? Do you know?
I think it's their thickness, their girth.
They're not the same thing?
No. I think one is fatter.
But you agree, it looks like a gopher.
Yeah, I would imagine it looks like a gopher, yeah.
It looks like a gopher.
I mean, prairie dog's probably in this same category, right?
Yeah, it just looks like a gopher when I saw it. That's just what it looks like. It looks like it's a gopher. I just wasn't sure, you know? I mean, I only know the difference between a dolphin and a porpoise because of what I saw at Ace Ventura Pet Detective. Maybe you guys know the difference between a gopher and a groundhog. They seem like they're cousins. They seem very related. I wonder what the difference is. What's the difference between a beaver and a platypus? Who knows? I don't know. I'm from the city. I've never seen one of these creatures in the wild before. I don't think I've ever seen a groundhog in the wild before.
I don't think I have either. I don't know.
I don't want to be anywhere where groundhogs are. I don't want to be anywhere where they are.
I can't think. I mean, I feel like another difference between beaver and platypus, but outside of that, I feel like all your questions were valid. You've seen the movie, though, right? Groundhog Day? Groundhog Day, the movie, is an exceptional film. We need to talk about the film more because it's fantastic and less about the dumb rodent.
I don't think I've ever seen the movie before.
What?
I don't think so.
How's that possible?
I don't have the Bill Murray appreciation that you do.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't have the Bill Murray appreciation.
What? How do you not appreciate Bill Murray? He's fantastic.
I don't dislike Bill Murray. I just don't have the appreciation for Bill Murray the way that other people have it.
You need to see this summer when the Royals are 30 and 50 and we're here looking for things to do, we'll do another 80s movie and I'll just get you to sit down and watch Groundhog Day. Ned Connors, just such an incredible film.
I don't have any interest in watching a movie that is about this.
Now on this February 2nd, Punxsutawney Phil, the seer of seers, was awakened from his wintry nap at dawn on Gobbler's Knob.
I don't have any interest in watching any movie that's about that. No thanks. Not at all.
It's not about the rodent. It's about the day. That's where the term, it's like Groundhog Day, is stemmed from, because he keeps living the same day over and over and over again. It's like that movie Russian, that show Russian Doll, except for with Bill Murray in a comedy.
Someone on the text line says, 913-586-7610, hey, C-Dot, let's go river cat fishing. What the hell is a river cat? Is that a groundhog?
I think it's you catfish in the river, like river catfishing.
I don't know if that's accurate. It says, let's go river cat fishing.
I think he means catfishing, like fishing for catfish in the river. That's my assumption.
I don't know, man. I've never been so confused at the text line before. You think that's what he's trying to say?
I think he's saying
we should go fishing for catfish in the river?
I think he's inviting you to the river to go fish for catfish.
What river will we go to? Like the Missouri River?
I think both rivers in the Kansas and the Missouri have catfish.
River?
The Kansas River, the Kaw.
I don't know where that is. I don't think
I've
ever
been there before.
You
don't know anything about the
Kansas River? No. Rob, what makes you think that I do aquatic activities?
You don't have to do aquatic activities to have basic geographical knowledge of the area.
Where's the Kaw River at?
Kansas. It's in Kansas.
What is it by? Is it like by the Legends? Like, where's the Kaw River? Like,
I mean,
tell me from the radio station where I need to drive to go to the Kaw River. It's in Lawrence?
It's in Lawrence.
I've never seen it before.
Don't you get off on 70? You cross it.
That's the Kaw River?
That's the Kaw.
I thought it was like a creek or something.
Oh,
I don't
goodness
know what
gracious.
It was. I didn't know that's a very unassuming river. I mean, I'm used to when you go to Columbia and you see that really big bridge. That's a river. I don't know what. That's not a river. I don't know what that is. It's a pool. I mean, that's a river. That's what you guys are calling a,
that's
river,
a river
on your side of state
it's
line?
It's a river. It's not a state line thing. There are certain markers for what a river is, and it hits the markers.
Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, Google or YouTube people noodling catfish.
Don't do that. Don't noodle. You'll lose your fingers. Don't noodle.
Someone says noodling a catfish means that you catch it with your hands. People are doing this as an activity?
Have you ever seen it?
Hold on. Let me understand this. I just want to get this. You're telling me that we have great modern equipment to catch these fish, and people have decided to not use any of that great modern equipment and have decided to put their fingers into the river and try to grab the fish. Put their appendages in the water and to try to grab the fish. That's what people do.
So what happens is you put your hand in the hole and the catfish bites the hand and you grab it from the inside and yank it up. Now, it's a dangerous activity because you got to put your hand kind of blind in these holes in the river. So sometimes there are snapping turtles down there and you lose fingers.
White people are afraid of everything but equality, man. That's crazy. I don't, that's crazy to me. That's wild. I don't know what's going on. You guys tell me things I've never heard of before. I had no clue that this was a thing. Coming up on the other side, we will talk about anything other than what we talked about for the last 2 minutes. It's The Drive.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.